Well, good morning, family, on this 12th day of July, 2020. To all our family and friends far and near, I want to wish you a very blessed day of worship and thank you for joining us. I want to start in our announcement time by thanking everyone who's been phoning or emailing me. I know these are difficult times and it's hard to keep contact with one another, but I've appreciated those. Rick, especially to you, you've sent me some amazing thoughts from last week's sermon that we've talked about, and those that have responded to our midweek notifications, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's hard to stay connected. We're still doing driveway visits, so if you would like a driveway visit or you want to meet in somewhere cooler, we have options that we can share with you as Jane and I go out and visit. So please stay connected. I'll tell you, if I don't hear from you, I get really lonely. And so if you're feeling a leading, give me a call or an update. We got a lovely card from Lisa Smith, and many of you remember Lisa with her family. Lisa then was transferred down to the London area and then down toward Windsor, and now she's up in Sturgeon Falls working in the penitentiary system north of Sturgeon Falls, and she said, just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. It was so sweet that you remembered Travis and Jessica's birthday, and she said, it really touched my heart. And so Lisa, hello to you in Sturgeon Falls, and Rob and Gail Simerson and Airdrie, hello to you. I understand you've come through a real hailstorm there in Calgary, and I hear that siding has been ripped off houses, and So I hope everything gets organized very quickly back in place. Just want to say that we've had some updates from some other folks, and we'll keep you abreast of that as these weeks unfold. Want to give you a list of the birthdays, and so I'll start with this. Doug, want to wish you a very happy birthday for the 14th. And, of course, Doug and Deanne are working as the coordinators over at the Tojo's campground in Elmvale, and they're working very, very hard this summer with a lot of limited options because of the COVID thing. So, Doug, a happy birthday to you. And Naomi has a birthday on July the 15th, and we're continuing to pray for the Noro family. And many of you will remember Bradley. Bradley and his family, of course, moved down to Port Colborne. So, Bradley, a very happy birthday to you on the 15th. Want to give you now the updates of our notes of praise and prayer. And for praise, let's start with that. Barb, she's been having a rather rough time. And Barb, I can understand that. I think for those of you that live alone, it's got to be extremely tough. But her family did come to visit, and they took her out for supper, and so she's feeling much better. Again, if you have a leading about somebody, call them. And they would, I know, appreciate a call from you. Now, for prayer, Donna, of course, McNabb is having an infusion on Monday, and we're going to pray that everything turns out well for her. David, of course, is saying, why did the Lord send this pandemic at this time? Good question, David. Who understands the mind of the Lord, except he knows the end from the beginning? And he does know that, as he said, that the Lord is trying to strengthen all of us in our faith. Barb, also, just a quick reminder under our notes for prayer that with it being a tough time in isolation, it's especially hard with the heat wave. And speaking of heat waves, Shauna just gave us an update. Shauna, as you know, has been waiting 4 years to move into her home here in Wasaga. She finally moved in about a couple of weeks ago. Things have not been finished. She hasn't got her porch. She has not got air conditioning even. And so she's feeling very overwhelmed as she's trying to unpack. And so I was just thinking we should really pray for Shauna today. Also, Carl and Judy, I had a great talk with Carl the other day. Judy, of course, is in quite a bit of pain with her hip, and Carl is on new meds to try to slow down his heart. And so they're both finding things are not easy. And no doubt there's others in our church family that need prayer. So As we go to prayer now, and you think of somebody, just lift them up. Father, I just want to thank you for this day and the opportunity to be together in this format. As much as we miss seeing each other and being together, Lord, we thank you that this technology enables us to gather together and to pray together. And Father, I just want to thank you for the ways you've worked. This has been an extremely hot week, and it looks like this upcoming week is going to be a difficult one as well. But we just pray that you'll give us wisdom, and especially for people like Shauna, Lord, that you would help them in all the issues related to this heat wave. And Father, for those in pain, we think of Carl and Judy and those that are struggling physically. May your healing touch be upon them. And as Donna goes down for her injection, that Lord, everything would just go smoothly in those 3 hours. We pray, too, for people like Mary Lou, who is trying to be faithfully looking after her parents. And there are so many issues as we try to work with our extended families. And so for these, Lord, and all the unspoken requests, for our families scattered near and far, and, Lord, our concern for each one, we thank you that you know and you're watching over every one of our family and friends. And so, Lord, as we have this service together, as Monique ministers to us in a few moments in music, and, Lord, as I preach, that all of this would bring honor and glory to you. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. So again, thank you, Monique, for doing such a beautiful job. I want to end the series we started 2 weeks ago entitled Don't Let Your Guard Down, because I think it's important to remind us that even though we're in the summertime and living is easy, Satan is very much working and is trying to bring Christians down in many ways, and so we need to continue to be vigilant. And again, I want to remind you that we operate under the authority and direction of Jesus Christ. And of course, in his situation, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so we have these words in 1 John 5, which I want to remind you of. We know that everyone who is born of God does not keep on sinning, but Jesus, who was born of God, protects him, you and me, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. So we're not naive, and we're not just in ignorant bliss living this life. Again, we are serious in our lives. Luke records the following words from Jesus when he said, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over what? All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Of course, Peter also, talking on this same vein, says, cast all your cares on Jesus, because what? He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Again, we're all in this together, and the world needs to see that we have something different. Otherwise, they're never going to want what we have in Jesus Christ. And so I want to take a story and illustrate to you a scenario that all of us in some ways will have to deal with. And so I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 39. And here is this story. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. And you'll remember that his brothers were trying to kill him. They put him in a pit, and then the travelers who were coming down in caravan route bought him and sold him in Egypt. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that Joseph did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned, and he had him put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that Potiphar owned, in the house and in the field, and so he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge with him, except he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about that after these events, that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph and said to Joseph, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me around, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He's put me in charge of everything he owns. There's nothing, no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and what? Sin against God. And it came about that as Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were inside. And Potiphar's wife caught Joseph by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he went outside. And when she saw that Joseph had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said, see, he has brought this Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came into me to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. Then she spoke to him with these words, because Potiphar had come home. That Hebrew slave, whom you brought to us, came in to me to make sport of me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Now it came about that when Potiphar heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, his anger burned. So Potiphar took Joseph and put him in jail, in the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. And the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with Joseph, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. And an hour later, Joseph was released from prison, and Potiphar's wife was indicted for lying. No. No. If we look at this story, Joseph was in the midst of doing everything right. He got blindsided, and he'd done nothing wrong. He had done nothing to give Potiphar's wife reason to target him sexually. And rather than to yield to sin, what did he do? He fled out of the house. Family, you and I are going to be living through these days and doing our best and maintaining integrity in all that we think or do or say. And we could well get blindsided. People can say all manner of things about us. People can accuse us of all kinds of things. But the most crucial issue here is that Joseph is the example. Day after day, he was tempted to what? Do a great evil against his master and also sin against God. And so he refused. And then when the temptation became an action, he literally fled. Did that make him a coward? No. That made him a man of courage, but it also showed his principle and that he was a man of integrity. Does that mean everything went well for Joseph? Well, in terms of human reality, we would say no. He was 3 years in jail. And yet, in all of this, the Lord was with him. But I want to start with one thing. When we talk about don't let our guard down, I don't know if you see this in the story that I just read to you, but I am convinced, in a sense, Joseph already had a plan in terms of how he related to people and situations, that he was not going to sin against his God in any area, whether it would have been financial or sexual or something to do with lying. Nothing he was going to do was sin against God. And then when he got blindsided, he literally ran from the sin. He would not allow himself to be tainted. And so I think you and I need to this summer have a plan and a focus before any temptation hits. 1 Corinthians 10 says the following. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide a what? A way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And again, the issue of flight has to do with anything that would be contrary to God's will and plan and purposes. I appreciate what Max Licato wrote a number of years ago. Many of you know Max. He's a well-known writer. He wrote the following. Years ago, a friend gave me this counsel. Make a list of all the lives that you would affect by your sexual immorality. So I did. Every so often, I reread it. My wife, Denilyn. My 3 daughters. My son-in-law. My yet-to-be-born granddaughter. Every person who has ever read one of my books or heard one of my sermons. My publishing team. Our church staff. The list reminds me that one act of carnality is a poor exchange for a lifetime of lost legacy. I think Max has a plan. I think he has a plan even before any temptation would strike. Now, the other reality is we can have a plan, but also I think we need to choose what we're going to do in different scenarios. Do not choose to put yourself in a position that is questionable when it comes to integrity or things pertaining to the goodness and greatness of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses this. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. I know Christians who literally say, well, it's okay. I can keep on sinning. I just keep asking the Lord to forgive me. Well, I think you're walking on thin ice. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica the following in chapter 5. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you read Paul's letters to Timothy, and Timothy, of course, is the young pastor, and Paul was mentoring him, and in both letters to Timothy, one of the things he says, and you can read this especially in the second letter of Timothy, I haven't written the scriptures for you to read, but he says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And I think you and I need to be careful, and part of keeping our guard from going down is, again, aware of our circumstances, our situations, and the people even we are associating with. Now, that's not to say we're not trying to be a good witness. That's not to say we're not trying to talk about Christ. But we also need to know that none of us can stand beyond temptation that is common to man. I've talked to Christians who've said to me, well, I never thought I would sin. I felt I was strong. And well, you go to that same reality of temptation, you're eventually going to succumb. Now, the thing that's important as we continue to walk with integrity before the Lord is that God himself will continue to bless and guide you, even through adversity that comes from being blindsided. Just because we love the Lord doesn't mean we're not going to be hit by situations. Satan wants to neutralize us. He is a roaring lion. He is trying to defeat us, discourage us, and of course, pull us down mentally and spiritually. But we need to remember God is always with us, and he has a bigger picture for our lives. And so I go back to Genesis 39 and verse 21, and I quote this to you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, and then did what? So his presence, his relationship was strong, and then he showed favor to him in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then in verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. And that was in the midst of adversity. I mean, all of us can say, well, Lord, why did Joseph have to go through all that crap? But God had bigger plans and purposes. And sometimes, you know, we're going through things that are terribly difficult, and we certainly can say to the Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through all this. And it's almost like the Lord needs to say to all of us, trust me, I'm working. You keep your eyes on me. So, again, as we see in Joseph's life, in due time, what? The Lord raised him up. And here it is. I mean, if you want to hear the rest of the story, I love Paul Harvey, and now you know the rest of the story. In Genesis 41 and 38, and here's what happened after he was released from jail, those 3 years. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall lord themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne, I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and made him ride in his second chariot. And the whole of society called out before Joseph, bow the knee, that he has set him over the land of Egypt. Again, family, I don't know what happened with Potiphar, but I think at some point there was a revelation if this was Pharaoh now putting Joseph in charge of the entire country. And so don't be discouraged in these days. Wherever you're going through, maybe recently you've been blindsided. Maybe you're trying to figure out a situation that's been going on for years. People have been talking badly about you. People have manipulated situations around you and behind you. People have devised plans within the workplace or in your retirement or even in the school system as you're a student. In all of these things, this is the reminder for you and I. Do not be deceived, because God sees everything. He's not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so in verse 9, and I believe, Phil, you have this, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, what? We will reap if we do not give up. I love this verse as we conclude this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 13 as he recorded this, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray together. Father, all of us are not finding these days our days really of ease. There is much stress and many things that we are concerned about. We need answers for. Some in our family are going through very difficult times because of the effect of other people on their lives. There have been lies. There have been things done. There's been deception. There has been reasons for tears and grief. And Lord, for many of us, we're simply trying to live. We're simply trying to serve you. We're simply trying to obey you. We're simply trying to be good witnesses in our faith as we live every day. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue to draw near to each one, that you would remind them that you are with them, whether they feel like they're totally alone in a jail scenario like Joseph feels, or whether they're in the midst of a crowd and they're surrounded by a cacophony of noise. And so, Lord, we head into this new week. We ask you to go before us. We ask you to give us discernment and wisdom. And most of all, we ask that you would give us a sense of your peace and the knowledge that we can shine for you. No matter what the world thinks or wants to do around us, we serve under you, and we believe the evil one cannot literally touch us. He may try to whisper, he may try to roar, he may try to use other people, but Lord, our eyes are on you, and we know that whatever we're going through, you're going to bring us through it, and in time, we will understand your plans and purposes. And so may your peace be upon each and every one of us this day, and may we sense from you the pleasure of knowing that you're our God and that you care so much about us. And as we conclude this service, as Monique is going to come and sing the song, Go Now in Peace, that this would indeed bring refreshments to our soul. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.